We are back, and we have a guest on the phone with us today, worship arts pastor at Thomas Road Baptist Church and Christian recording artist Charles Billingsley. Charles, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Lynn. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, your music's been a blessing to me for a long, long time. I remember you when you were with New Song.
And long time ago.
People Get Ready. That was a great album.
It was a great record. We had a bunch of number one hits on that CD, and it really was a great record for the ministry of New Song.
Praise God. Charles, you got a new record coming out on March the 4th.
I sure do.
Right here. Tell us about it, Charles.
Well, it's been a long process on this one because I've been working long and hard on this thing. But I will tell you, I'm very excited about it because the Lord has just blessed me with the top producer in Christian music and the top songwriter. And it's just the songs are so strong on this project. And so I'm really excited. You know, I took my time, made sure we had the right songs on here. And, you know, when you do a record, sometimes you feel like, you know, hey, we nailed it almost, you know?
Right.
And you feel like there's some songs in there that sort of just kind of become what I would term, you know, bathroom songs. And what I mean by bathroom songs is that's the song the artist does in concert where everybody gets up to go to the restroom. But there's no bathroom songs on this record. It's just really strong, the whole thing. And so I'm excited about that. I really am.
We are too.
Well, thank you. I tell you, we've had a great run here. Now, you know, we're just now starting to do these things live, and it's been just really well received, some of these tunes that we're introducing to the church and, you know, just introducing it to the congregation. There's about five tunes actually on the record that are real congregational friendly.
Yeah.
And by that I mean, you know, people sing along. And of course, that's always one of my big goals, is to have enough stuff to where people can jump in and join in the worship. You know, I've done enough artisty things to where I've kind of heard enough of me. I like to hear the congregation.
Right.
And so it's just nothing like leading the people of God into the presence of God. And so we are having a blast leading these new songs, and people are responding. You know,
that's so great, Charles.
That's fun.
Well, yeah, we've heard too. My wife is on your launch team.
Oh yes.
And so
you've heard a couple.
We heard Right Here, and then we do an early service on Sunday at our church, and we come home and we stream usually Thomas Road. So we heard ones last Sunday, and so it is. It's going to be a great album, and Charles, the worship. Being a worship pastor gives you a unique perspective, I think, on the Christian entertainment industry, because it goes beyond entertainment.
Well, it sure does, and it should. You know, I mean, that's the one thing that separates us from, you know, from what the world has to offer. You know, you can go to a Christian concert, and it can be entertaining and all those things, but you can do that at a secular concert as well. And to be honest, they usually have more money and have better lights and better gimmicks and everything else. But the thing that makes Christian music so powerful is the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And when the Holy Spirit is moving in the room, there's just nothing that can surpass that. In fact, with no lights and no sound, sometimes just the guy holding the guitar singing an anointed song is way more poignant and way more memorable than, you know, some of these big, huge tours full of lights and you know, pyrotechnics and everything else. So
that's right.
The Holy Spirit has everything to do with that. And so, you know, my goal, of course, is when we do a concert or a worship service from a production standpoint, for it to be right and for it to sound great and everything else, but to not let that production ever override the power of His presence and Him moving in the room. And so, you know, we try to find the right balance on the production side so that we don't interfere with what the Holy Spirit's doing.
That is very, very awesome right there. You know, we are going to come. We had to miss the last one, which was Only Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
But we gave away a bunch of those here on the program, and which we're going to do that again. I wear your stuff out at the house because I do sense that. I mean, it's a separate, it's a come out and separate type of thing than your standard Christian. Nothing wrong with it, but your standard Christian music. They do seem to have a thing in the industry where a guy sits and writes songs and just hands them out and people sing it and they all sound alike. But when the Holy Spirit gets involved, you know, it's different. And it takes you into the presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if I can say anything about Charles Billingsley, I would say to you this. He's a guy who has a gift and a passion for taking people into the presence of God.
Praise the Lord.
Charles, worship is more than an hour on Sunday morning. It's more than you know, doing your little thing and spending 5-10 minutes with God, raising your hands, whatever. Talk to us about worship as a lifestyle, because I get your words on worship, and I hear it so often in there. Charles, talk to us about that.
Well, it certainly is, Lynn. In fact, that you can see worship really from Genesis 1:1 all the way through the end of Revelation. Worship is on every page of Scripture. And bottom line is, it is not singing songs that we so often think in the Christian church here in America that is worship. Now, singing songs is an expression of worship, but really what worship is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yes.
And that's played out in every avenue, every aspect of our lives, everywhere we go, the things we say, the things we put into our bodies, the things we do with our bodies,
yes,
the thoughts that we think. All of that is really an act of worship. And so I believe, and I know this might sound elementary, but I believe that all sin is ultimately a worship problem.
Oh boy.
Because most sin, in fact, 99.9% of sin, stems from this thing called pride. And when pride gets in the way, that means that your worship, your object of worship then is either yourself or pleasure or greed or, you know, something like that, selfishness. And when that happens, then suddenly the object of your worship is no longer the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've made yourself king for that moment. And I think it's something we fight all day long, every day. It's certainly not, you know, something that you can conquer in a lifetime, but it's certainly something worth striving after. And so when I say worship is a lifestyle, I really mean it's a lifestyle of loving Jesus and striving after being holy in His eyes.
You're preaching good. You're preaching good.
That's, <Thank you>.
That's right on there. Charles, how can we get a hold of you? How can you be contacted for music or social media?
Oh, easy. On Twitter, I'm just at C. Billingsley. Facebook, just the, you know, Charles Billingsley page. And then you can always go to my website for resources. It's charlesbillingsley.com. And I have an app called Words on Worship where you can go there each and every day and hear just a little 60-second blurb on what it means to live a lifestyle of worship. And those are brand new and fresh every month. I write 5 a week, and it's up on that app every day, and it's also on my website. So hopefully there's enough resources there where people can just grow steadily but surely closer to the Lord throughout the year.
That's awesome, Charles. And my wife and I both use the app. And
cool.
We've probably, when we come to the concert in Lynchburg on March the 6th, we're going to buy 5 copies to give away on radio here. I'm going to buy 5 more copies for my family. And if you want to get in on a giveaway, what you do is you go to charlesbillingsley.com and you look around and you write me and tell me you did. And the first 5 people that write, I will send you a free CD right here after they're released. Charles, it's been a joy and a delight to have you with us today. Is there anything you'd like to say to close us out?
Well, I'll say one thing. I'm not going to let you pay for those 5 giveaways. We're going to give them to you, so that way you can can give those away at no cost to you. But I do want to just tell you thank you, Lynn, and thank you for your ministry and your outreach to all these wonderful folks listening to you. And I would ask just for prayers that people would pray that God would use this new music to reach into the souls and the hearts and the minds of people who don't know the Lord. Amen. And also to encourage those who do know the Lord to worship Him on a daily basis.
And I like the tagline on your album, the little picture that we share. I just retweeted one earlier, but I don't think it's there. But it says something like, worship experience for all generations. He is uniting and bridging gaps between generations in these days that we're living in right now for a final harvest, I believe, before the return of Jesus Christ. So these are exciting times.
Yeah, they are.
You are
the church is alive, my friend.
You are an exciting brother, and we just love to hear what the Lord is doing in your life. So I'm going to cut away, and Charles, I want to get with you off the air just for a minute. God bless you.
All right.
We'll be right back.